Chapter 49. Dissolve, Mark said skeptically. What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it won't matter much if these things don't even work.
Alec inspected the box for a minute, then removed a bulky black thing with silvery latches. He took his precious items and moved past Mark, out of the storage room and into the hallway and beyond.
Come on,
he yelled when he'd disappeared. Mark spared a last glance at the menacing, almost magical items shining inside the box, then took off to catch up with the man. He found him back in the cockpit, sitting in the captain's chair, admiring the weapon in his hands. He looked like a kid with a new toy. The black thing he'd also retrieved was sitting on the floor. It looked like a cradle for the weapon, some kind of charging device, perhaps.
Okay, Mark said as he sidled up to stand behind Alec.
Tell me what that thing does.
Just a sec,
Alec said as he placed his toy in the long cradle bay of the black thing. He pushed a button on a small control pad on the side. Something chirped, then hummed. Then there was a gray light emanating from the entire body of the weapon itself.
We'll charge her up, and then you'll see what she does,
Alec announced proudly. He looked up at Mark.
Ever heard of a flat trans?
Mark rolled his eyes.
Of course I have. I live on planet Earth.
Okay, wise guy. Calm your shorts. Anyway, you know how expensive those things are, right? And how they work?
Mark shrugged and took a seat on the floor, the same spot where he'd fallen asleep at some point a million years ago, it seemed.
It's not like I've ever used one, or even seen one, but I know it's a molecular transporter.
Alec barked a forced laugh.
Obviously, you haven't seen one because you don't have $1 billion, or work for the government. Just one of those devices costs more than you could count to in a year. But you're right. That's how they work. Breaking down molecular structures and then reassembling them at the receiver point. Well, this bad boy of a gun does the same thing, except it only does half the job.
Mark looked at the charging weapon and got the chills.
You mean it breaks people apart? Splits them into tiny little pieces?
Yep. That about sums it up. Throws them into the air like the tossed ashes of the dearly departed. For all I know, they fly around for the rest of eternity screaming for someone to put them back together again. Or maybe it's just instant and over. No way to tell. Maybe it's not such a bad way to die.
Mark shook his head. Modern technology. The world had some pretty cool stuff, but it didn't amount to much when the sun decided to wipe out most of civilization.
So I guess that's it then, Mark asked. Didn't seem like there was anything else in that room.
Nope. So, let's hope these puppies work.
Mark told himself to make sure he didn't shoot his own foot.
How long till it charges?
Not long. Just enough time for us to pack up some supplies for the rescue mission.
Talking like a soldier, Mark thought.
Then we'll test it out while we charge one up for you. Maybe a spare for the road.
Mark stared at the charging device until Alec dragged him to his feet to help prepare for their journey. A half hour later, they had backpacks full of food and water and some clean clothes they'd found hidden away in the small barracks section. The first transvice had been fully charged and was firmly gripped in Alec's hands, its strap across his shoulder, as they opened up the ramp door of the cargo hatch. They'd done a cursory search of their surroundings and didn't see anyone close, so they'd decided it was safe to test the new fancy weapon. Mark winced as the hinges of the ramp squealed open, and he looked over at his proud partner.
Holding that thing a little tightly, aren't you?
The transvice glistened with shine and, now charged, put out a faint orange glow. Alec gave Mark a look that said, "Give me a break."
These might look fragile, but they're far from it. We could drop it from the top of the Lincoln Building and it wouldn't break.
That's because it'd land in the water.
Alec twisted and pulled the transvice up so that its business end, that strange little spout coming from the long bubble, was pointing straight at him. Mark flinched in spite of himself. "Not funny," he said.
"Especially if I pulled the trigger."
The ramp door thumped to its open position on the cracked pavement of the cul-de-sac in which they were parked. A sudden and stark silence fell over the world, broken only by the distant cries of a bird. Warm, humid air engulfed them, making it almost hard to breathe. Mark coughed when he tried to pull in a deep breath.
"Come on," Alex said, already stomping down the ramp. "Let's find us a squirrel."
He swept the weapon back and forth as he walked, looking for any interlopers.
Or better yet, one of the crazies who might have strayed over here. Too bad these things have to be charged, or we could get rid of this virus problem in a jiffy. Sweep those old neighborhoods nice and clean.
Mark joined him on the ground below the berg, wary that someone might be watching from the ruined homes surrounding them, or from the burnt woods beyond those.
"Your value of human life brings tears to my eyes," he muttered.
"Long term," Alec replied. "Sometimes you gotta think long term. But they're just words, son. Just words."
Being in the suburbs was really unsettling Mark. He'd grown used to life in the mountains, in the woods, living in a hut. This abandoned neighborhood just made him feel odd and uncomfortable. He needed to steel up his nerves before they set out to do the real business at hand.
"Let's get this test over with."
Alex started walking toward a brick mailbox that was half destroyed. It looked like someone had smashed into it with a car or truck during a frantic attempt to escape.
"All right, then," he said. "I wanted to test it on something alive. It works much better with living, organic material. But you're right. We need to be quick about it. I'll try zapping this pile of
A door slammed open in the half-crumbled house closest to them, and a man came out of it running straight for them, screaming at the top of his lungs. His words were indecipherable, and his eyes were full of madness, his hair ratty and matted. Sores covered his face, as if he'd been trying to claw through his own skin. And he was completely naked. Mark stumbled a couple of steps backward, stunned by the man's appearance and scared out of his mind. He was searching for something to do or say. But Alec had already raised his weapon, pointing the trans vice directly at the quickly approaching man.
"Stop!" the vet yelled. "Stop or you're..."
He gave up because the wild man coming at him was obviously not listening. Screaming nonsensical things, stumbling but not slowing, heading for Alec. A sharp ping sounded, seemingly from everywhere at once, followed by a rushing, spinning sound like the whir of a jet engine. Mark noticed that the orange light emanating from the transvice had brightened, visible even in the sunshine. Then Alec suddenly jerked backward when a bolt of pure, brilliant white light shot out of the weapon and slammed into the chest of the screaming man. His cries cut off instantly, like he'd been sealed in a tomb. His body turned gray as ash from top to bottom, all details and dimension disappearing so that he looked like a cutout of gray cloth, shimmering and rippling. Then he exploded into a mist, evaporating into nothingness. Just like that, without leaving a single trace that Mark could see. He turned to look at Alec, who'd lowered his weapon and was breathing heavily, his eyes still wide and staring at the spot the man had occupied just seconds earlier. The old soldier finally returned Mark's stunned stare.
"I guess it works."
Chapter 50. Mark was at a loss for words. The spectacle of the transvice dissolving a person like a cloud of smoke caught in the wind wasn't even what weighed on his thoughts the heaviest. A completely insane man had just charged out of a house straight at them. What had he been thinking? Was he attacking or begging for help? Were others going to be as bad off? As crazy? It haunted him through and through, witnessing what the disease did to people, was doing. It had to be getting worse. That guy had been utterly nuts. And Mark had already felt something like it, the faintest trace, starting within him. There was a beast hidden inside, and soon it might come out and make him look like the man Alec had zapped with the transvice.
You okay over there?
Mark shook his head and came back to his senses. No, I'm not okay. Did you see that dude?
Yeah, I saw him. Why do you think I evaporated him into oblivion?
Alec was resting the weapon against its strap, looking around for signs of more people. So far, there were none. Though it should have happened a long time ago, it finally hit Mark, like a hammer to his heart, just how much trouble Trina was in. Held prisoner by lunatics who could now be as bad off as the one he'd just seen. And Mark and Alec had taken the time to sleep? To eat? To pack? He suddenly hated himself.
We have to go rescue her, he said.
What's that?
Alec was walking toward him. Mark raised his eyes and glared at his friend.
We have to go. Now.
The next hour was a mix of maddening rushing around, then equally maddening waiting. They closed the ramp door, Alec standing by with the transvice, in case anyone tried to board during the agonizing couple of minutes it took the thing to pull all the way shut. Then they made sure their packs were ready to go, and Alec gave Mark a quick lesson on how to hold and shoot the transvice. It seemed straightforward enough. Finally, the soldier got the Berg up and running, its thrusters pushing them into the sky. They flew low, Mark the key observer, searching the ground below them as they passed. As they got closer to the neighborhood ruins in which Alec had seen Trina and the others, Mark definitely saw more signs of life. People running between homes in little groups. A few fires in yards and smoke coming from half-crumbled chimneys. Carcasses of dead animals that had been stripped of meat. He even saw a few humans lying lifeless here and there, sometimes piles of them.
We're right on the outskirts of Asheville, Alec pointed out.
They were at the head of a large valley, fed into by the foothills of the mountain forests that had burned in the recent fire. Expensive developments of big houses dotted the sides of those foothills. Several of the homes had been burned to the ground, nothing left but charred black swaths of debris. Mark saw dozens of people milling about in packs here and there along the streets. A handful of them had seen the Berg now. Some were pointing up at the ship, some running for cover. But the majority didn't seem to have noticed at all, as if they'd been struck deaf and blind.
There's a huge group of them on that street.
He pointed at them. Alec nodded.
That's where I saw them put Trina, Lana, and the kid in one of the houses.
Alec banked the Berg to swoop in and get a closer look. He pulled up and hovered about 100 feet above the spot, then joined Mark at the windows. The two of them looked down on a complete nightmare. It was as if a mental hospital had released all its patients. There was no order to the madness that Mark witnessed below him. Here he saw a girl lying flat on her back, screaming at no one. There he saw three women beating two men who'd been tied together, back to back. In another spot, people were dancing and drinking some kind of black liquid out of a pot that boiled over a makeshift fire pit. Others were running around in circles, still others stumbling about as if drunk. But then Mark saw the worst thing of all, and he no longer had any doubt that the people who'd gathered there were beyond any kind of help. A small group of men and women were fighting over something that looked like it had once been a person, their hands and faces covered in blood. Mark was simultaneously revolted and terrified that he might be looking at the remains of the only girl he'd ever loved. His whole body suddenly shook, trembling from head to toe.
Go down, he growled. Go down there right now. Let me out.
Alec had backed away from the window, his face as pale a thing as Mark had ever seen.
We can't do that.
A furious burst of anger shot through Mark.
We can't give up now. What are you talking about, kid? We need to land in a safer place or they'll swarm this thing. We'll need it to get back to safety. We won't go too far.
Mark couldn't believe how heavily he was breathing.
Okay. Okay.
Sorry. But just hurry.
After what we just saw?
Alec asked as he was already positioning himself at the controls.
Yeah. I think that's sound advice.
Mark stumbled, leaned against the wall. The anger inside him was being replaced by an overwhelming sadness. How could she possibly still be alive in the midst of such madness? What was this flare virus? What possibly could have possessed any person to want to spread it? Every question only increased his anguish. And there were no answers. The Berg came to life and banked again, turning back toward the way they'd come. Mark wondered how many of the people down below had even noticed that a huge ship was just hovering right above them. They flew for a few minutes, and when Alec seemed satisfied, he landed the Berg in a cul-de-sac surrounded by empty lots, part of some developmental expansion that had never happened, and never would.
That whole street was full of people, Mark said as he and his friend walked back to the cargo room.
They both carried a fully charged transvice and had backpacks strapped to their shoulders.
And there were signs of them in every house. They're probably in that entire section of the neighborhood.
For all we know, they might have moved Lana and them again, Alec replied. It would be smart to check every house in that section. But remember, they were alive this morning. I saw them, no doubt. Don't give up hope yet, son.
You only call me son when you're scared, Mark answered.
Alec smiled kindly.
Exactly.
They made it to the big cargo room, and Alec went to the control pad, pressed the ramp buttons. The hatch began to open, announcing their presence with its screeching hinges.
Do you think the ship will be safe while we're gone?
Mark asked, the broken window still haunting him.
I've got the remote control here. We'll lock her up. That's the best we can do.
The door touched down, and the noises ceased. The stifling hot air enveloped them as they walked to the bottom of the metal slab. They'd just stepped off when Alec pushed a button on the pad and sent the ramp closing up again. Soon it sealed shut, and all was silent. Mark looked at Alec, and Alec looked back. Mark thought it was a tight contest as to whose eyes showed more fire.
Let's go get our friends, Mark said.
The two of them began walking away from the Berg, weapons hefted in their arms, marching toward the madness and chaos that waited down the street. Chapter 51. The air was dusty and dry. With each step, it seemed to become thicker, almost choking them. Sweat already covered every inch of Mark's body, and the breeze that swept across them now and then felt as if it came from a furnace, doing nothing to cool his skin. He pressed on, hoping his palms wouldn't become too slippery to handle the weapon properly. The sun hung above them like the eye of some hellish beast looking down, wilting the world around them.
It's been a while since I've been out like this during the middle of the day, Mark said, the effort of speaking making him thirsty.
His tongue felt swollen.
Gonna have one sweet sunburn come tomorrow.
He knew what he was doing, trying to convince himself that things weren't so bad, that he wasn't losing it up top, that his anger and headaches weren't going to hinder his concentration and focus, and everything was going to be fine. But the effort seemed pointless. They reached their first crossroads, and Alec pointed to the right.
Okay, it's just a couple of turns up that way. Let's start sticking closer to the houses.
Mark followed Alec's lead, crossing the dead lawn, now nothing but weeds and rocks, into the shadow of a home that had once been a mansion. All stone and dark wood, it had held up for the most part, though it now had a faded, sad look, as if losing its former occupants had stolen its soul away. Alec leaned back against the wall, and Mark did the same behind him. They swept their gazes and weapons back to where they'd just come from to see if anyone was following them. There wasn't a person in sight. Strangely, though, the breeze had stopped, so that the world seemed as lifeless as the neighborhood itself. Mark shifted in his sticky clothes.
"We need to stay hydrated," Alex said, placing his weapon on the ground.
He slipped off his backpack and pulled out one of his two canteens. After a long drink, he handed it to Mark, who relished every drop as it slicked his parched mouth and throat.
"Oh, man," he said when he finished, handing the canteen back to Alec. "That was the single best drink I've ever had in my life. That one right there."
"Saying a lot," Alec muttered as he put the thing away and hunched into his backpack once again. "Considering all the times we've been thirsty in the last year."
"I think that crazy dude you evaporated got me all worked up, but I'm ready to go now."
He really did feel invigorated, as if the canteen had been full of adrenaline instead of water. Alec picked up his weapon and slung the strap across his shoulder.
"Follow me. From here on out, we'll keep the houses between us and the streets."
"Sounds good."
Alec slipped out of the shade and made a beeline for the neighboring yard, heading toward the back. Mark was right on his heels. They kept the same routine for the next dozen or so homes. A quick sprint across the dead, lifeless yards, slipping into the shade of the buildings. Then they'd slink their way around the back to the other side, and Alec would peek around the corner, searching for any sign of company. Once he gave the all clear, they sprinted to the next house and started again. They made it to the end of another street, where you could turn left or right.
"Okay," Alec whispered. "We need to head down this road and take the second left. That one runs into the big street where we saw all that partying going on."
"Partying?" Mark repeated.
"Yeah. It reminded me of some crankheads we busted in the 20s when martial law was declared. Those people were just as nuts. Bloody, hell-bent psychos they were. Come on."
Crankheads. Mark had known some druggies in his life, but those were the worst. The drug had gotten stronger and stronger over the decades. Now it was something you never came back from. Never. For some reason, the word stuck in Mark's mind.
"Hey!"
Alec was halfway to the next house, and he turned back toward Mark.
"Find time to daydream."
Mark shook off the cobwebs and ran after Alec. He caught up, and they booked it to the side of a three-story mansion, the shade a welcome relief as always, even if it didn't last long. They sidled along the wall until they reached the back. Alec took a peek. Then they stepped around the corner and started for the other side. Mark had only taken three or four steps when he heard a wet, cackling sound above him. He looked up, half expecting to see some kind of exotic animal. The noise had been so strange and alien. But there was a woman perched on the roof, as ratty and filthy as any of the other infected Mark had seen recently. Her hair stuck out in every direction, and her face was smeared with mud, the pattern almost ritualistic-looking. She made that same cackling sound, somewhere between a laugh and a racking cough. She smiled, revealing a set of perfectly white teeth, but then turned it into a snarl. After another burst of cackles, she rolled backward and disappeared behind the lip of the roof's gutter, one of the few homes that still had a roof. Mark shuddered. He hoped he'd be able to get the image of the woman out of his mind. He turned back and saw Alec was standing a few feet away from the house, aiming his weapon toward the roof, but with no shot.
"Where'd she go?"
the man asked absently.
"Let's just get out of here. Maybe she's by herself."
"Fat chance."
They shuffled along until they reached the far corner of the backside of the house. Alec leaned out for a quick look.
"All clear. We're getting closer, so buck up and look alive."
Mark nodded. Alec took off for the next house, and Mark was just stepping out to do the same, when a horrific screech stopped him cold. He looked up just in time to see the woman leap off the roof, flying through the air with her arms outstretched like wings. Her face was lit with madness as she shrieked, plummeting toward Mark, who couldn't believe what he was seeing. He turned to run, but it was too late. Her body slammed into his shoulders, and they both crashed to the ground. Chapter 52. She went for his eyes, as if the impact of the fall had done nothing to her. Howls poured from her mouth as if she were some kind of tortured creature. The wind had been knocked out of him, and his knees ached where they'd thumped against the hard ground. He rolled over, gasping for air, as he grabbed her hands, tried to force them away from his face. She ripped free of his grasp and clawed at his ears, his nose, his cheeks, scratching and slapping. He continued to fight her off.
"Help!" he screamed to Alec. "Push her off so I can get a clear shot," the man yelled back.
Mark twisted his body and darted a quick glance at Alec. He was standing there, hopping around as he aimed his weapon, waiting until he could risk firing the transvice at the woman.
"Just come get—"
Mark started to yell, but her fingers were suddenly in his mouth, pulling at his lips. She hooked a finger into his cheek and pulled as if trying to rip the side of his face off, but her fingers slipped out. Her hand flew up into the air, then came crashing back into his face with a clenched fist. Pain and anger burst through him like a lit chain of firecrackers. Finally able to breathe, he got his hands underneath her body and stuck his elbows out, then pushed hard. She flew off him, crashing onto her back with an audible thud that momentarily shut her up. Then she was scrambling to get back onto her hands and knees. But Mark had righted himself first, and he lurched forward, then planted his weight on his left foot and kicked out with his right, slamming the toe of his shoe into the side of her head. She screamed and flopped over, curled up into a ball and held her face in her arms, rocked back and forth, whimpering. Mark quickly scrambled away from her.
"Go ahead, do it."
But Alec didn't. He calmly walked up to stand beside Mark, the end of his weapon pointed at the suffering woman.
"It'd be a waste. Let's save it for bigger game."
"But what if she follows us? Goes and gets her friends, ruins our chance at surprising them up ahead."
Alec gave her a long look, then raised his eyes to Mark.
"If it makes you feel better, then you do it."
He turned and started walking toward the next house, scanning the area for potential enemies. Mark went over to where he'd dropped his transvice and backpack in the melee of fighting off the crazy woman. He didn't take his eyes off her as he picked both items up, slinging the pack onto his shoulders and tightening the straps, then hefting the weapon in both hands once they were free. He aimed it at the lady and walked closer until he was just a few feet away. Still, she lay curled up in the fetal position, whimpering and moaning, rocking back and forth. Mark found that he felt no pity, no sorrow. She was past being human, had lost every ounce of sanity, and that wasn't his fault. And for all he knew, she had friends nearby or was just playing weak so that they'd walk away and leave her alone. No. There wasn't time for pity anymore. He took another step back, firmly pressed the butt of the weapon against his chest, aimed a little more precisely, and pulled the trigger. A buzz and hum filled the air. Then the transvice recoiled and shot out a beam of white light that sliced into the woman's body. She didn't have time to scream before her body turned into a rippling wave of gray and exploded into a fine mist, vanishing in an instant. Mark had stumbled two steps backward, but he was just glad he hadn't fallen down. He stared at the empty space on the ground where the woman had been lying, then finally looked up to see that Alec had stopped and was facing him, eyeing him with an unreadable expression on his face. But there seemed to be a mix of shock and unmistakable pride in there somewhere. "Our friends," Mark said, sure that he'd never heard such a bitter voice escape his own lips before.
"That's all we can think about."
He lifted the weapon, nestled it in the crook between his neck and shoulder, and held it there with one hand while dropping the other to rest at his side. Then he calmly and quietly walked toward Alec. The old soldier waited for him and didn't say a word. They moved on to the next house. Chapter 53. Mark began to hear the chaos after passing two more houses. Screams and laughter and what sounded like metal beating on metal. The screams were the most chilling, and he didn't know if he was prepared to see their source. He tried not to think about the fact that he might end up just as sick as the people he could hear. He might have already started the journey there. After dodging and weaving past several more houses, he and Alec finally reached the street they'd seen from the sky. Alec held up his hand to stop Mark behind the last house on the block. It faced the road, yet still provided some protection from being seen. They stood in the shade of a half-crumbling awning.
Okay, Alec said, slipping off his backpack. This is it. Let's get ourselves fed and watered up. Then we're going in hot and heavy.
Mark was surprised at how little fear he felt, at least at that moment. Maybe it was because they were taking a short break and the situation didn't seem real yet. But if anything, it had been building up for so long he was just anxious to get out there and let what happened happen. His head was throbbing again badly, and he knew somehow that it was only going to get worse. He couldn't afford to waste time. They sat down and ate some of the dried, packaged food scavenged from the berg. Mark enjoyed every swallow of the water from his canteen. He had the fleeting thought that it could be the last time he ever drank the stuff. He shook his head. The morbid thoughts were becoming harder and harder to push from his mind. He crammed the last couple of bites into his mouth and stood up.
I can't take it anymore, he said.
He reached down, picked up his backpack, and slung it onto his shoulders.
Let's get out there and find our friends.
Alec gave him a sharp look.
I just meant with all the waiting. I can't take it.
His head ached, but he tried hard to ignore it.
Come on, let's do this.
Alec stood up and got himself packed and prepared. Once he was done, the two of them hoisted their weapons into their hands, ready for battle.
Remember, Alec said, there might be no defense against these transvices, but that doesn't mean anything if we get the damn things taken from us. Do not, I repeat, do not let anyone get close enough to get it out of your hands. And keep the strap over your shoulder. That's our number one priority. Keeping these babies for ourselves.
Mark gripped his tightly, as if someone were going to try to take it from him right then and there, and nodded.
Don't worry. I won't let anyone get close.
Alec put out his hand.
We're going to make it through this, but just in case.
Mark shook the man's hand, squeezing it.
Thanks for the billion times you saved my life.
It's been an honor serving with you, kid. Maybe today you'll save mine a couple more times.
I'll do my best.
They hefted their weapons and turned the corner of the house. Alec looked at Mark and nodded, then burst into a full-on sprint. Mark followed his lead and ran behind him into the street. The main pack of infected were farther down the road, but there were enough people nearby for the two to be wary. One woman sat square in the middle of the road, clapping her hands in a rhythmic pattern. A few feet away from her, two men were fighting over what looked like a dead rat. Another guy was standing on the corner, singing at the top of his lungs. Mark and Alec crossed the street and headed toward the first home. Like most of the ruins in the wealthy neighborhood, it was huge and half burned down. What remained had rotted. Mark followed Alec closely, stopping at the side of the house. They inched up against the wall and caught their breath. No one seemed to have noticed them yet. Of course, many hadn't even looked up when they'd been in the berg right over their heads, thrusters burning louder than anything Mark could imagine.
Okay, Alec said. When I saw them, Lana and the others were being led to a house down there.
He nodded toward the street to the right.
But I think we should search each one to be sure. If they've been moved, I'd rather not miss them. If we can avoid the main pack of wackos up the street, all the better.
Might as well get started then, Mark replied. Right here.
Alec nodded.
Come on.
They slipped out from the protection of the wall and headed for the front door, only to run straight into a man standing in front of the entrance. He was dressed in tattered clothing, and his face was dirty, a red gash taking up most of his cheek.
Get out of the way, Alec barked. Step away from the door and into the yard, or you'll be dead in 5 seconds.
The man gave them a blank look. Then he raised his eyebrows once and did as he was told, stepping calmly off the porch and walking, slowly, onto the weedy, rocky front yard. And he kept walking, without a backward glance, until he reached the sidewalk, where he turned to the right and headed for the activity down the road. Alec shook his head.
Be ready in case someone jumps out at us.
Mark planted his feet and aimed his weapon. Alec held his transvice with one hand and reached out with the other, grabbing the door and pulling it open. He took a step back as it swung wide, giving Mark a clear shot if he needed it. But the place was empty.
You go first so I can watch your back,
Alec said, waving his arm for Mark to enter.
Or watch me get eaten before you do.
Trust me on this one, kid. It's better for you if I'm back here. Now get moving.
A surge of excitement was pumping through Mark's body. Fear no longer tugged at him. He was itching to do something. He gave Alec a curt nod and stepped up to the porch and entered the house, sweeping his weapon left and right as he searched the room. Everything was hot and dusty and dark, sunlight visible only through holes in the walls. The upstairs seemed much lighter, though. The floor creaked with every step he took.
Stop and listen for a sec, Alec said behind him.
Mark stilled his body and strained his ears. Other than the distant sounds of the chaotic dance taking place down the street, he couldn't hear a thing. The house was silent.
Let's go top to bottom, Alec suggested.
The stairs proved to be too broken to manage. Mark gave up after his foot went completely through the third step. Alec motioned toward a door that seemed likely to lead to the basement.
Bag that idea. I don't hear anything up there. Let's check it out down below, then move on.
Mark carefully removed himself from the stairs and went to the basement door. He gave Alec a confirming look, grabbed the handle, and jerked it open. Alec swung his weapon into the gap in case anyone attacked, but nothing happened. A rush of moist, noxious air swept up and over Mark, and he gagged. He had to cough and swallow a couple of times to keep himself from throwing up. Alec decided to go first this time, stepping through the doorway and onto the landing. He reached back and pulled his flashlight out of his pack, clicked it on, and shined it down the steps. Mark leaned in to see dust motes dancing in the bright beam. Alec was just putting his foot forward to start down when a voice rang out from below.
Come any closer, and I'll light the match.
It was a man's voice, weak and shaky. Alec glanced back at Mark with a questioning look. Out of the corner of his eye, Mark caught movement at the bottom of the steps and gestured toward it with his weapon. Alec shined the light down there to reveal the person who'd spoken, who'd just appeared out of the darkness. He was trembling top to bottom and soaking wet, his dark hair matted to his head and his clothes dripping. Little puddles were already forming on the floor. The man's face was starkly pale, as if he hadn't left the basement in weeks. His eyes squinted against the brightness of the flashlight. At first, Mark wondered if the man was just sweating profusely. Then he wondered if maybe the guy had some kind of busted pipe or groundwater down there. But then he caught a whiff of gasoline or kerosene, some kind of fuel. And then he noticed that the guy had things in his hands, holding them tight to his waist. In one, he held a rectangular box. In the other, a single match.
Take one more step and I'll light it, the man said.
Chapter 54. Mark wanted to turn and run, But Alec hadn't moved yet. He just stood there with his weapon aimed down the stairs at the man with the match.
"We didn't come here to hurt you,"
Alec said carefully.
"We're just looking for some friends of ours. Is anybody else down there?"
It seemed as if the man hadn't heard anything Alec had said. He just continued to stand there, trembling and dripping with fuel.
"They're scared of fire, you know. Everyone is scared of fire, no matter how far your mind has gone. They don't bother me down here. Not with my matches and gasoline."
"Trina," Mark called out. "Lana, are you guys here?"
No one responded, and the man with the match wasn't fazed by the outburst.
"It's your choice, my new friends. You can take a step toward me and I'll light the flames that'll take me away once and for all. Or you can go on your merry way and let me live another day."
Alec was slowly shaking his head. He finally started to back away from the steps, pushing against Mark until they were both in the hallway again. Without a word, Alec reached out and slowly closed the door until it clicked softly. Then he turned toward Mark.
"What kind of world has this become?" "A really sick one."
Mark was feeling it too. Something about seeing that guy doused in fuel, holding a match. For some reason, he just seemed to sum things up.
"And I doubt its end will be so happy for us. All we can do is find our friends and make sure we die on our own terms."
"Well said, son. Well said."
Mark and Alec quietly exited the first house and moved on to the next. The sounds were louder now. In a crouching run, Alec and Mark had made their way to the home across the street, planning to follow a zigzagging route. A few stragglers noticed them and pointed but moved on quickly enough. Mark hoped their luck would hold and no one would give them too much thought, although the shiny weapons were bound to ruin that plan. They'd just stepped up to the porch of the next house when two small children came running out. Mark's finger was twitching on the trigger, but relief washed over him when he realized the advancing figures were only kids. They were filthy and had that strange, distant look in their eyes. They giggled and ran away, but as soon as they disappeared, a large woman came stomping out, screaming something about brats and threatening to tan their hides. She didn't seem to notice the two strangers until after she'd yelled for a few good seconds, and then she only gave them a disapproving look.
"We're not crazy in this home," she said, her face suddenly red with anger. "Not yet, anyway. No need to take my kids. They're the only things keeping the monsters away."
There was a vacancy in her eyes that chilled Mark to the bone. Alec was visibly annoyed.
"Look, lady. We don't care about your kids, and we're certainly not here to cart them off. All we want to do is have a quick look in your home, make sure our friends aren't in there."
"Friends?" the woman repeated. "The monsters are your friends? The ones that want to eat my children?"
The vacancy was suddenly replaced by a stark terror that darkened her eyes.
"Please, please, don't hurt me. I can give you one of them. Just one. Please."
Alec sighed.
"We don't know any monsters. Just, look, just move aside and let us in. We don't have time."
He stepped forward, muscles tensed, ready to use force if necessary, but she scrambled away, almost tripping onto the dead weeds of her yard. Mark looked at her sadly. He'd assumed the monsters were the infected people down the street, but now he realized he was wrong. This woman wasn't any more right in the head than the last guy they'd found, and he wouldn't be surprised if she really did think monsters were living under the beds. Mark left the woman in the front yard and followed Alec inside, only to be stunned by what he saw. The interior looked more like a back alley from one of the worst parts of New York City than a suburban home. Pictures had been drawn with what looked like black crayon and chalk all over the walls. Dark, terrifying pictures of monsters, things with claws and sharp teeth and vicious eyes.
They were messy, as if they'd been done in a hurry, but some had vivid details, enough to make the hair on Mark's arms stand up. He gave Alec a grim look and followed the older man past them, to the stairs to the basement, and went down, weapons held at the ready. They found more children below, at least 15, maybe more, and they were living in filth. Most of them were huddled together in groups, cowering as if they expected some horrible punishment from the new arrivals. They were all dirty and poorly clothed, and by the looks of it, starving. Mark hardly registered the fact that the people he was looking for were nowhere to be seen.
We can't leave them here, Mark said.
He'd let go of his weapon, and it hung from the strap on his shoulder. He was dumbfounded.
There's no way we can leave them here.
Alec seemed to sense he wouldn't be able to make Mark budge on this. The soldier stepped in front of him and spoke gravely.
I understand what you're saying, son. Where you're coming from. But listen to me. What can we do for these children? Everyone in this godforsaken place is sick, and we don't have the manpower to get them out. At least they're... I don't even know what to say.
Surviving, Mark said quietly. I thought surviving was all that mattered, but I was wrong. We can't leave these kids here.
Alec sighed.
Look at me.
When Mark didn't, Alec snapped his fingers and yelled.
Look at me!
Mark did.
Let's go find our friends. After that, we can come back. But if we take them now, we'll have no chance. You hear me? Absolutely zero.
Mark nodded. He knew the old man was right. But something had torn in his heart at the sight of these kids, and it physically hurt. He didn't think it would ever mend. He turned around to gather his thoughts. All he could do was focus on Trina. He had to save Trina. And Dee Dee.
Okay, he finally said. Let's go.
Mark and Alec moved from house to house, searching them from top to bottom. It all became a big, hazy blur to Mark. The more he saw, the more numb he grew to the strangeness of the new world. This sickness that had been spread on purpose. In each house, on each block, he saw things that kept topping what he'd thought untoppable. He saw a woman jump off a roof and land, broken, on her front steps. He saw three men drawing circles in the dirt and jumping in and out of them, like kids playing a game. Except something was making them more and more upset, and they finally erupted into a crazed brawl. There was a room in one of the homes where 20 or 30 people were lying in a heap in complete silence. Definitely alive, but not moving. A woman eating a cat. A man chewing on a rug in the corner of his living room. Two kids throwing rocks at each other as hard as they could, bloodied and bruised from head to toe, laughing all the while. People standing still in their yards, staring at the sky. Others lying face down in the dirt, talking to themselves. Mark saw a man bull-rushing a tree, slamming himself into the trunk over and over, as if he thought eventually he'd win some battle and knock the thing down. But on they went, quickly searching each and every home as they got closer to what Alec had called the party. The strangest thing, though, was that so far no one had attacked them. Most people actually seemed scared to death of them. They were approaching their next house when a scream suddenly tore through the air, somehow louder than all the other sounds combined. It was piercing and raw, ripping its way along the street like a living thing. Alec pulled up short, as did Mark, and they both looked in the direction of the noise. About 5 houses down, 2 men were dragging a woman with black hair by her feet through the front door. Her head smacked the concrete of each step as they descended to the yard.
Holy Mother of...
Alec whispered.
It's Lana.
Chapter 55. Alec didn't wait for Mark's response. He He burst into an all-out sprint, booking into the street, his feet pounding the pavement as he headed for Lana and the strangers now dragging her across the rock-filled yard of the house. He'd reacted so quickly that Mark was far behind. He tried his best to catch up, his backpack bouncing against his shoulders and his weapon threatening to slip out of his sweaty hands. Alec was screaming at the men to stop what they were doing. He held up his transvise, but the thugs didn't understand the threat, or didn't care. They continued pulling Lana across the yard until they reached the sidewalk, where they threw her legs down violently. She'd ceased her screaming, and Mark wondered if she was still conscious, still alive. Alec stopped a dozen feet from where Lana lay, unmoving. He was aiming his weapon, yelling at them all to freeze, when Mark caught up to him. It took him a moment to catch his breath before he could aim his own transvise. There were three men total, and they stood in a circle around Lana's body, all of them looking down at her. They seemed completely oblivious that people had weapons aimed at them.
"Step away from her!"
Alec shouted. Now that they were closer, Mark finally got a good look at their friend. It made his stomach turn. She was battered and bloody and covered in bruises. Much of her hair had been ripped out, and her bloody scalp shone through where it was missing. The last thing Mark noticed was that one of her ears looked like someone had tried to tear it off. The horror of it struck Mark like an anvil to his chest, and the rage he'd grown all too familiar with came boiling back up. These people were monsters, and if they'd done the same things to Trina. He stepped toward them, but Alec reached a hand out and stopped him.
"Just a second," he said,
then returned his attention to Lana's captors.
"I'm not going to repeat myself. Step away from her, or I start shooting."
But instead of responding, the three men knelt to the ground, their knees touching Lana's body as they surrounded her. Frantically, she looked back and forth between them.
"Just do it," Mark said.
"What are you waiting for?"
"I don't have a clear shot,"
Alec barked back.
"I don't want to vaporize her."
Alec's words just made Mark angrier. He wasn't going to stand there and do nothing for one more second.
"I've had enough of this crap,"
he muttered, and started walking forward, slapping away Alec's hand when he tried once again to stop him. The men didn't so much as glance at him as he approached. They were all digging deep in their pockets for something, their bodies turned in a way that blocked most of Mark's view.
"Hey!"
he shouted, his weapon held out before him.
"Get away from her or I'm going to shoot! You won't know what hit you, believe me!"
They didn't hear him, or pretended not to. The next thing that happened was so quick and shocking that it made him stumble, almost fall down. In a blur of motion, one of the men pulled out a switchblade and stabbed Lana. Her scream sent a jolt of horror thudding through Mark's bones. Then he was rushing forward, slinging his weapon to his back, diving. He leaped and tackled the man closest to him, sending them both rolling away from Lana. He heard Alec yelling his name, but somehow he ignored it. His only thought was that he had to disarm this guy quickly enough that he could stop the others, at least get them far enough away from Lana that Alec could take care of them. The man he'd tackled was strong, but Mark had taken him by surprise and was able to pin him to the ground with his knees and snatch the switchblade out of his hands. Without thinking, he stabbed him in the chest and ended it. Mark fell off, crashing onto his back and scrambling away, staring in horror at what he'd just done. But just as quickly, the world around him came back into focus and he jumped to his feet. Alec ran up and swung the butt of his weapon down with both arms, slamming its end into one of the attacker's heads. He crumpled and slumped to the ground. There was a group of people charging in from the other side of the street. Mark had no idea where they'd come from, but there were at least 7 or 8 of them, all men, all with knives or hammers or screwdrivers, their faces lit up in rage.
"Watch out!"
Mark yelled to Alec. But the men weren't interested in them. Instead, they all went after Lana, who was still being attacked by the lone man left of the three who'd originally dragged her outside. Alec took a few stumbling steps backward, and Mark ran to stand beside him. As they watched, Mark realized that they were powerless to stop the madness unless they started using the transvices. He was filled with a sudden, doomed uncertainty. Alex seemed to suddenly harden, a visible change that spread through his body. His face went still, hard as a rock. He straightened and stood tall. Then, without a word to Mark, he lifted his weapon and aimed it at the group of people attacking Lana. He fired a shot. The quick stream of pure white bolted forward and hit the closest man, who'd just been pulling his arm back, a bloodied hammer gripped in his hand. He transformed quickly into that shimmering flag of gray, then exploded into a cloud of mist, whisked away by an unfelt wind. Alec was already firing another burst at the man next to him. Mark knew they couldn't win this battle, though Lana had been brave and true and strong since the day they'd met back in the tunnels of the subtrans. Mark lifted up his own weapon and started firing. He and Alec picked off the attackers one by one. Pull the trigger, on to the next. Soon, the monsters were gone, and only the pitiful, wretched form of their friend lay on the ground. Alec didn't hesitate for a moment. He aimed and shot one more burst from his transvice. Lana's suffering ended in a spray of gray mist. Chapter 56. Mark's eyes drifted up from the bloody patch on the ground and fixed on Alec. The man had a look on his face that said a thousand things, but laced through it all was a profound sadness. Though Mark never fully understood what kind of relationship the two veterans had shared, it had been deep and full of history. And now she was gone. Alec's expression cleared in a few seconds, but it felt like a lifetime to Mark. He'd never seen his friend so sad before. Suddenly, Alec was all business again. He pointed at the house in front of them.
That's where they dragged her out, and that's where we're going in. I'm sure Trina and the kid are in there right now.
Mark turned to look. A mansion by any account, three stories and all gables and massive windows, many of them broken now, and fancy brickwork. But with a scorched roof and filthy walls and a weed-choked yellow lawn, it looked ancient. Mark was terrified at what they might find inside it. And people were gathering around them. Less than a minute had passed since they'd vaporized their friend and the violent thugs attacking her, but the crowd milling about in the yard and street seemed to have doubled in size. Men and women, children, most of them marked with bruises and scratches, some with worse. A man with a huge section of his shoulder missing was slowly ambling toward them. It looked like someone had taken an axe to him in a fit of rage. There was a woman with an entire arm gone, the joint a bloody mess. Most disturbing of all, there were a couple of kids with brutal injuries, and they didn't even seem to know they were hurt. Without fail, the people started to inch closer, surrounding Mark and Alec. Tattered and grimy clothes, dirty hair, hollow gazes, the crowd's attention was entirely fixed on the two newcomers. Alec started walking slowly toward the front door of the large house. Mark mimicked his wary movements, as if any sudden action would trigger the budding insanity in those who watched their every step. They inched closer, weapons held firm. Mark wasn't taking even the slightest chance anymore. If someone came at him, they were getting shot. The crowd pulled in tighter around Mark and Alec, gathering like spectators at a parade. There had to be dozens of them now, maybe over 100. Then several men broke from the larger group and cut off the path to the front door. As soon as they did it, others followed suit, completely surrounding Mark and Alec now, a tightening noose.
I don't know if you people can understand me, Alec bellowed, but this is a one-time offer. Get out of our way or we start shooting. We've got friends in this house, Mark added, and we're not leaving without them.
He raised his transvice just for show. The looks on the faces all around him were changing. That blank indifference was clearing. Eyes were narrowing, foreheads furrowing, lips curling up in slight snarls. A couple of women actually hissed at them, and a kid gnashed his teeth like some wild animal.
"Get out of our way!"
Alec yelled. The crowd surged in a few inches, pressing closer, tightening their circle. Mark felt that familiar break inside of him again, as if he was losing control. A rush of something like hatred burned through him.
"Forget this," he muttered.
He aimed his transvice at the closest man between him and the front door and pulled the trigger. A blinding stream of white light shot from the weapon and into the man's chest, quickly turning him into a wall of gray, then an explosion of particles that disappeared. Mark didn't hesitate. He immediately aimed at the next man, pulled the trigger, watched him turn to vapor. Next to him was a woman. 3 seconds later, she was no longer there. He'd half expected Alec to stop him, but the former soldier wasted no time. The woman had barely disassembled when Alec was firing away as well. They concentrated on clearing a path to the house, slowly sweeping their weapons back and forth as they picked the people off one by one. Flashes of light filled the air as their transvices heated up, unleashing a wave of destruction. All without a single drop of blood. They'd eliminated about a dozen people, cutting through half the crowd standing in front of them, when the rest of the infected seemed to finally catch on to what was happening. A violent scream filled the air, a piercing, horrible sound, and suddenly every last person there was charging forward, rushing at the two men with their death-dealing weapons. Mark moved his weapon left to right, pulling the trigger in short bursts, not even bothering to aim. Streaks of white connected with a few women. One stray shot hit a small boy, vaporized him. Still, they barreled toward him at full speed. Mark turned to face the people behind him. He fired again, then gripped the transvice and swung it up to smash its butt end into a man's face, sending him sprawling, shrieking in pain. Mark stumbled backward but caught his balance. There were people all around him, hissing, baring their teeth, dancing about on their feet, all wild eyes and hysterical laughter. Mark held the transvice tightly against his chest again and fired randomly, turning in a slow circle as he vaporized whoever was closest. Then he swept the weapon back the other way, all the while careful of where Alec stood. The next few moments were complete madness. Mark felt a hitch of panic. He kept firing, swinging left, then right. He elbowed and shoved and broke through and fired and started all over again, pushing his way ever closer to the house. He killed at least 10 more people before he was suddenly tripping over the steps of the porch. He fell, twisted the transvice around, and fired it directly into the chest of a man who'd leaped into the air toward him. The gray mist washed over Mark's face and disappeared. He spotted Alec a few feet away, jamming the end of his weapon into a woman's face. Alec then broke into a run, jumping onto the steps and passing Mark, heading for the door. Mark got off one more shot before he began to crawl backward up the stairs. At the top, he got to his feet and reached the door just as Alec was stepping through. He ran past Alec into the house, and his friend slammed the door. Alec had barely tripped the lock before the thump of bodies hitting it sounded from the other side. Mark doubted it would hold for long. Then they were running. Down a hallway, a right turn, another hallway. Two people came at them. They'd been guarding a door. Alec got both of them with shots from his transvice. Mark slipped past him, opened the door. There were steps. A man was at the bottom, pounding his way up, his eyes all fire set in a dirty, scratched face. Mark vaporized him. Down the stairway, two at a time. A man and a woman rushed at him with knives, swinging at him before he could bring his weapon up. He smacked them both away and dove toward the floor just as Alec appeared and shot his weapon twice. And then everything grew quiet except for the distant sounds of the people outside, who'd be coming for them soon. They were in a basement. A stream of sunlight shone through a narrow window at the top of the wall to Mark's right. Dust motes danced in the air, and two people were huddled in the corner of the room, looking as frightened as anyone Mark had ever seen. Trina and Dee Dee, clutching each other, arms wrapped around one another's bruised bodies. Mark ran to them, knelt in front of them, placed his weapon on the ground. Dee Dee was crying and spoke first.
"She's sick,"
she said in her trembling little girl voice. She squeezed Trina tighter, crying. Mark reached out and took Trina's hand, squeezed it.
It's okay. We found you. We're getting you out of here.
Trina had been staring at the floor the entire time, but she slowly raised her head and looked at Mark. Her eyes were empty and dark.
Who are you?
She asked. Chapter 57. The words hit him like a rapid series of thumps to his heart. He tried to convince himself that there were a million reasons she could have said what she did. Maybe the room didn't have enough light. Maybe she'd been hit in the head. Maybe her vision was blurred. But the reality of it was in those eyes. She had no idea who he was. None.
Trina.
He searched for words.
Trina, it's me, Mark.
There was a crash upstairs, something breaking, then a few thuds. Footsteps sounded from above.
We've got to get out,
Alec barked.
Now!
Trina had not stopped looking at Mark, her face wrinkled in confusion. Her head was tilted to the side, as if in her mind she was running through the possibilities of who this guy in front of her could be. But there was also fear and panic. Something unsettling.
Maybe there's a treatment,
Mark found himself whispering in some sort of trance. The only person in the world he wanted with him, safe and sound.
Maybe.
Mark!
Alec yelled.
Get them up, now!
He looked back to see his friend at the bottom of the stairs, weapon raised to shoot whoever dared try to come down first. There was more noise above them. People running and shouting, things breaking. Then Mark caught a blur of movement out the window. A pair of feet that were there, then gone.
We'll figure everything out, he said, returning his attention to the two girls. Come on, we need to get out of here.
The rising volume of noise threatened to push his panic over the edge, but he knew he was treading on fragile ground with Trina. He had no idea how she might react if he tried to rush her.
Dee Dee?
He said as gently as he could. He picked up the transvise and rested the strap on his shoulder.
Come here, Dee Dee. Take my hand and stand up.
A loud bang cut through the air, coming from the stairs. Someone had just thrown a door open and slammed it against the wall. The shouts had reached a hysterical pitch. Mark heard the distinct power surge and zing of Alec's transvise going off, heard the shocked gasps coming from above as people saw one of their comrades disappear in a flash of gray mist. Mark imagined the scene, all while holding his hand out and trying to look calm for Dee Dee. The girl just stared at him for an agonizing few seconds, a thousand thoughts going through her head by the looks of it. Mark didn't let himself move, just kept smiling and holding that hand out. Finally, she reached out and took it, let him pull her up. Without letting go, he leaned in and slipped his other arm under Trina's back, got a firm grip. He used all the strength he had left to lift her off the ground and set her on her feet. She didn't resist, but Mark was worried she might topple over if he let go.
Who are you?
She repeated.
Are you here to save us?
I'm your best friend of all time, he answered, trying not to let her words sting.
These people stole you from me, and now I'm going to get you back to safety. Home sweet home and all that. Please, she said. Please don't let them hurt me again.
An abyss yawned in his chest, threatening to swallow his heart.
That's why I'm here. I just need you to walk, okay? Walk and stay close to me.
More sounds from up above, a scream, a window shattering. Then footsteps on the stairs. Alec fired off another shot. Trina shifted and put all her weight on her own 2 feet.
Okay, okay. I'll do anything to get out of here. That's my girl.
Mark reluctantly slid his arm from her back and then focused on Dee Dee, bending over to look into her eyes.
This is going to be really scary, okay? But then it'll be over. Stay close to... I'll be fine, she said, cutting him off.
A sudden fire burned in her eyes, that made her seem 10 years older.
Let's go.
Mark felt a small smile on his lips.
Perfect. Let's do it.
He took her hand and put it in Trina's and squeezed them together. Then he grabbed his transvise and positioned it firmly against his chest, ready to shoot.
Stay right behind me,
he said, looking at each of them in turn to get confirmation that they understood. Trina seemed a little more lucid now, clarity coming back into her eyes.
Right behind me.
He gripped his weapon, rested his finger on the trigger, then turned to face the foot of the stairs, where Alec maintained his position. Mark had taken 2 steps toward Alec, Dee Dee and Trina right on his heels, when the window to their left suddenly exploded inward, a chunk of brick crashing to the floor in a shower of glass. Dee Dee screamed, and Trina jumped forward, stumbling into Mark's back. Mark lurched forward but caught himself before he fell. He pointed his transvise at the broken window, where a man's arm had snaked through the narrow gap and was groping along the walls. Mark fired a burst from his weapon. The first bolt of white heat missed, drilling a hole in the wall that sent up a strange cloud of dust. He tried again, and this time hit home. The arm dissolved into a gray mass, then whiffed out of existence. 2 more people appeared where the man had been, but Mark could tell the strip of window was too small for a person to crawl through. He turned away and moved once again toward the staircase, where Alec stood firm. He took a shot at someone above, even as Mark looked at him.
Got no choice but to make our way up there,
the man growled without taking his eyes off the door.
More of these psychos are probably arriving by the minute outside.
We're ready,
Mark replied, even though he had no clue how they were going to get their group of 4 through the horde of flare-infected maniacs.
Maybe we should put the girls in between us.
Exactly. I'll go first. You take up the rear this time. It's going to be ugly pushing through these wackos.
Mark nodded and took a step back. Trina seemed more and more with it, though she hadn't yet given any sign that she remembered him. She grabbed Dee Dee's hand and guided her to stand right beside Alec. The man winked at the little girl, then started up the stairs. Trina followed with Dee Dee in tow. Mark went up backward, just in case someone figured out another way to get into the basement. Step by step, they ascended toward the chaos waiting above.
Get out of our way, Alec yelled. I start shooting in 3 seconds.
The roar of activity increased, a cacophony of shouts and whistles and jeers and laughing. Mark abandoned the idea of guarding their rear and looked up to see 5 or 6 faces packed together at the door, waiting for them, wild-eyed and seemingly hungry for violence. He felt such a burgeoning fear in his chest that it was hard to breathe. But he knew that if they could just get outside somehow, they stood a fighting chance.
Time's up,
Alec roared. Then he let out 3 quick blasts from his transvise. 2 women and a man were whisked away into Neverland. Suddenly everyone surged forward, screaming and yelling, pushing through the door in a mass of bodies. Alec got off another couple of shots, but then it was too much. Soon he had 10 people on top of him, jumping and leaping and clawing. Alec fell backward into Trina and Dee Dee, who crashed into Mark. The entire group tumbled down the stairs in a tangle of arms and legs, and the infected came charging after them. Chapter 58. Mark's head slammed against a step, then the wall, then the floor, all while feet kicked and hands slapped and elbows jabbed at him. The world had turned into spinning, pain-filled madness. When everything stilled, Trina and Alec were on his chest, and Dee Dee was on his legs, squirming to get up. Alec awkwardly tried to lift his transvise to get off a shot, but was suddenly tackled by a man who jumped from the 4th step up and smashed into his body, sending him flying off Mark. Trina was reaching for Dee Dee. She grabbed her and pulled her into a fierce hug, leaping out of the fray just as more people rained down from above. Soon they were on top of Mark, 12 or more, punching and kicking and seemingly trying to rip him apart. Mark was at a loss, all plans out the window, relying on sheer desperation. He twisted his body and tried to spin out of the mass, gripping the transvise with both hands to swing it left and right to get people away from him. Trina yelled in a loud, piercing voice,
"Stop it! Everyone stop and listen to me!"
Her words sliced through the air, and the cries and shouts and grunts coming from everyone in the tangled mass of bodies lining the stairs from top to bottom went silent. All movement stopped. Mark was stunned at the abrupt change. He scrambled out from underneath a couple of people who were staring at Trina, almost transfixed. His back hit the wall across from the lowest step. Trina was to his left, still clutching Dee Dee in her arms. To his right, Alec had freed himself too. All eyes were on Trina, as if she had some magical, hypnotic power. The silence in the basement was broken only by the breathing of the occupants.
"You all need to listen to me,"
she said more quietly. There was a wildness in her eyes.
"I'm one of you now. These men have come to help us. But you need to let us go so they can do that."
This set off a chorus of mumbling and muttering throughout the crowd. Mark watched in sick fascination as they got to their feet, frantically whispering to each other, seeming to obey. The people were bloody and filthy, but they started to act in an organized fashion. Soon they were lined up on both sides of the stairs, leaving a clear path up the middle. Mark could tell that those at the top were communicating with other people in the house, spreading the word. It was all done with something like reverence. Trina turned toward Mark.
"Lead us up."
She still showed no sign of recognition in her eyes, and it stung in his heart once again. He had no idea what was going on or how she'd gotten this sea of maniacs to listen to her command, but he wasn't going to waste the opportunity. He jumped to his feet and held his transvice at the ready, without overtly showing it as a threat. He looked at Alec, who seemed as unsettled as Mark had ever seen him, doubt clouding his eyes. He nodded at Mark to go first. Mark walked toward the stairs and turned to Trina and Dee Dee.
"Let's go up, then. Come on. It's going to be okay."
He'd never said anything in his life that he believed less. They came to him, ready to follow. Trina had Dee Dee in front of her, gripping the little girl's shoulders. Alec moved to stand right behind them.
"Up we go,"
the man grumbled. His eyes were darting back and forth at the lines of people on both sides of the stairs, and the way he looked at them said it all. He thought for sure it was some kind of trap. His grip on his transvice was a little tighter than Mark's. With a deep breath that made him aware of the awful smells of the people around him, Mark turned and faced the stairs again. He took the first step. Every single eye above him was focused on his face. To his right was a woman with stringy hair and bruised cheeks, staring at him with a slight, knowing smile. To his left stood a teenage boy in tattered clothes, scuffed and dirty from head to toe. He also seemed on the verge of laughing. More people waited with similar looks, all eyes on him, all silent and still.
"Would you get on with it?"
Alec whispered from behind. Mark took another step. He was worried about rushing up the stairs, as if Trina had put the infected into some kind of trance and that any hurried movement might break the spell. He lifted his foot and went one step higher, then another. A glance backward showed Trina and Dee Dee right on his tail, and Alec behind them. The old man shot him a glare that said he was clearly unhappy with how slowly they were moving. Mark took another step and then another, the stranger's stares sending a cold tingling across his skin and down his spine. The smiles were getting bigger and creepier. They were two-thirds of the way up when he heard a woman's voice right behind him.
"Pretty, so very pretty."
He turned to see the lady patting Dee Dee's head, almost petting her like an animal at the zoo. The little girl's face was filled with horror.
"Such a pretty child," the woman said. "I could just eat you up, like a turkey dinner. Yes,
so sweet.
Mark faced front again, repulsed. There was a bulging feeling in his chest, as if something were trying to escape. He'd just taken another step when a man reached out and poked his shoulder with a finger.
Good, strong young boy you are, the stranger said. I bet your mama's proud, eh?
Mark ignored him, went up another step. This time, people on either side of him put their hands on his arm, not in a threatening way, just a touch. Another step. A woman moved away from the wall and threw her arms around his neck, squeezed him in a quick and fierce hug. Then she released him and stepped back into her position to the side. A wicked smile distorted her features. Revulsion filled Mark. He couldn't take another minute in that house. He threw caution to the wind and reached behind him, grabbed Dee Dee's hand, then started moving faster up the steps. He could hear Alec's feet pounding as he brought up the rear. At first, the infected seemed taken unaware, stunned by the sudden burst of motion. Mark made it to the top, across the landing, through the haunted faces that stared at them from both sides, and then he was in the hallway. The house was packed, people everywhere, some of them holding sticks and bats and knives. But there was a clear path down the middle, leading to the front door. Mark didn't hesitate, started sprinting toward the exit, pulling Dee Dee along behind him. They made it halfway before order collapsed. All of the house occupants seemed to scream at once, and their bodies swarmed in, pressing against Mark and his friends. Mark lost hold of Dee Dee's hand and saw her disappear into the crowd. Her sweet little cry, like that of an angel among demons.